Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining me this morning as we move forward in God's Word. Not my word, but God's Word. And the word that God gave me this morning was trusting in God is a long-term solution to your problems. Hallelujah. Trusting in God is a long-term solution to your problems. Because so many times we forget to go to God. In our lesson today, we're going to talk about a king who decided to go to someone else instead of trusting God. Instead of giving it all to God, he gave it to somebody else. I got to say, Lord, we trust in you. We trust in you, Lord. You are absolute God. You are the author and the finisher. You are our God. You are our friend. You love us, even when we don't love ourselves. You belong to us, and we belong to you. We got to give God glory. We got to give God honor, and we got to give God praise, for there is none like our daddy. Hallelujah. Are you telling your problems about your God this morning? Or are you going to your sister? Are you going to your brother? Are you taking it to the phone instead of to the throne? Hallelujah. God, we thank you today. We ask you, Father God, to increase as we decrease. Father God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are my strength, and you are my redeemer. And Father God, I tell my problems today about my awesome and mighty God. Father God, I know that all things work for my good because I trust in you, Lord God. You know what we need, and you know, Lord God, that you are the provider. And all we can say is thank you, Lord, for provision. Thank you, Lord, for providing what we need when we need it. Father God, I give myself away this morning for you to use me, Lord God. Use me for your glory. Use me for your kingdom. Let the words of my mouth, Lord God, be acceptable in your sight. As I pray this prayer again, Lord God, I ask you, please increase as I decrease. Give me strength, Lord. Give me strength. Speak what you tell me to speak and nothing else. For Lord God, I am your servant. I'm your servant. And all I can say is thank you. Thank you, Father God, for another day. Thank you for another day, Lord, because you didn't have to wake me up this morning. You didn't have to wake any of us up this morning. But you gave us a do-over. So, Father God, I thank you for the do-over. I thank you for the opportunity to be better today than I was yesterday. I thank you, Lord, for your grace. And it's in your son's name that I lift up this holy word this morning, your holy word, Lord. Let it add substance to someone's life. Let someone who hears it understand they are not alone, that you are with them, that you will never leave them. You have never left us, and you have never forsaken us. When we trust in you, Father God, this morning and every day, I give myself away. Ask you, Lord God, to take control. Take control, Lord. Take control of this message, oh God. Take control of what comes from me. But Lord God, I thank you. Praise you. I lift up the name of Jesus this morning, knowing that he is my Savior and he is my friend. Hallelujah. 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 You know, last night, as I was getting ready to to go to sleep, a story popped up on my email. Well, actually, it popped up on my news feed. And, you know, so many times all that we see is negative. Negative, negative, negative. You know, everything is negative. Beautiful, beautiful story. And I thought, wow, won't God do it? And he's using our children to guide us into understanding how good God is. And I love the title. It just said, Black Girl Magic. But I don't believe in magic. I believe in God. Come on now. Can we say, not a black girl magic, but a black girl who's got a God that says, today is your season. Today is your day. And it's about a little girl, 13 years old, who has been accepted into medical school. So this morning, I get a shout-out to the to a prodigy named Alina and Aaliyah Wicker. This baby, this 13-year-old, has been accepted into medical school. Whew! Can y'all say that? This baby has been accepted into medical school through all the shootings of children in school, through all the heartache of parents losing their babies because somebody decided to kill them. This little girl is achieving great things. When someone said that because of the color of your skin, you cannot learn, little girl is achieving in college to the point where she has already been accepted into medical school. And the story, if you want to read it, it's in Black Enterprise. And it says this, last year she spoke with 12 news fresh on her with 12 news fresh, which is a channel, fresh on her acceptance to ASU's engineering program. This is when she got accepted into college and shared her dreams of working for NASA. However, she soon realized she was interested in a different type of science. It actually took one class in engineering. This little girl, 12 years old, sophomore in college, was an engineering student, but realized engineering was not what she wanted to do. And then she says, well, I wanted to go, I think, viral immunology. Come on now. Really came from my passion for volunteering and going out there engaging with the world. The child's genius felt inspired by a trip to Jordan and the Brown Stem Girl Foundation, a program she founded at 12 that provides resources to exceptional minority students by form of scholarships and mentoring as they transition from college life to career life. What I want, come on now, this is a baby speaking. She said, what I want to inspire the girls, I want them to see that there are no limits, she proclaimed. Upon receiving her letter last week, she took to Instagram to express her joy and gratitude for her mom. And what she said, statistics have said, I never would have made it. She wrote, a little black girl adopted. She was adopted, not aborted, but adopted from Fontana, California. I worked so hard to reach my goals and live my dreams. Mama, I made it. I couldn't have done it without you. You gave me every opportunity possible to be successful. You cheered me on, wiped my tears, gave me Oreos, and when I needed comfort, you never allowed me to settle. Disciplined me when I needed it. You're the best mom a kid could ever ask for. Mama, I made it. You always believed in me. You allowed me space to grow and become make mistakes without making me feel bad. You allowed me the opportunity to experience the world. And she says, I'm just grateful. I graduated high school last year at 12 years old. And here I am 1 year later. I've been accepted into medical school at 13. I'm a junior in college. Statistics would have said I never would have made it. A little black girl adopted. This baby made it. But I love this part that they don't put in the big, bold print. She says, I pray God blesses me so big, you never, ever have to want for anything in this early life. And she's speaking to a mom. You know, and she goes on to say, you are the best mother a kid could ever have. For mama, I made it. You always believed in me. You allowed me space to grow and make mistakes without making me feel bad. You allowed me the opportunity to experience the world, which I read to you. Mama allowed her, opened her eyes to so many things. But the one thing she said that stuck out and what made me look at this article a little closer was, I pray God blesses me so big you never ever have to want for anything in this earthly life. You sacrifice so much for me. People have no idea what we have been through. And there I am. Wow, it seems so far away. The end of this college chapter is going to be so fast. Mama made it. I pray God blesses me. She gave a Jabez praise. She gave a Jabez prayer. Bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. She said, I pray God blesses me. Not for herself. She just said, God blesses me for me. She said, I pray God blesses me so big you never have to want for anything in this earthly life. So I say to the children out there, you can do it. Tell your problems about your God. Ask God for the things that you want and the things that you need. Ask God to bless you with that mind of this 13-year-old who's been accepted into medical school because she's trusted God. And she's trusting God now to be able to help her mom, her adopted mom. And I say to my brothers and sisters out there, if you're going to talk pro-life, be ready to be pro-adoption. Be ready to help children. And I say to the governments out there, be ready to stop all the red tape because somebody is not the same complexion as the child that they want to adopt. I love reading an article about a couple of color who adopted children that didn't look like them. Just like others not of color have adopted children of color. It goes both ways. Children need love. And it doesn't matter what they look like. We got to stop the foolishness so that our children can grow in love that only comes from God. This baby, this adopted baby, has grown into an almighty, powerful little girl to graduate high school at 12, which means if she's a junior in college, she was taking high school courses and getting high school credit in high school. She's getting college credit in high school. Smart. Thought she wanted to be an engineer, but now she wants to be an immunologist. Come on, 13 years old. Don't tell us what God can't do. And then when she prayed, she didn't pray for herself. She prayed for God to give her what she gets to help her mother, that her mother will never be in want. I pray to God so she knows the Lord. And you can tell it in how she speaks. That she knows God. We thank God that she made it. And she thanks the mother for being there for her. We got to start being there for our children so that they can make it too. So, a happy story. you know, something to lift up this little girl. Pray for little Alina that God will bless her and continue to bless she and her mother and her father, whomever her family is, to bless the Lord's their territory so that this child can make it even further and be that doctor, that viral immunologist that she wants to be. Because then maybe someone like her will discover a cure for so many ailments. Trust God today that this little girl is going to go far. Your little girls are going to go far. They just got to have that push that comes from God. So are you telling God about your situations today? Are you telling God what you need today? Are you trusting in God? Trusting in God is a long-term solution to your problems. Hallelujah. Trusting in God is a long-term solution to your problems. You won't fail when you're trusting in God. So let's get into our word on this 10th day of the month. Wow, look at God. And it says 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." You better catch that. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble, they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. Are you seeking God this morning? Are you taking it to the phone? We got a throne. Hallelujah. And in those times, there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in. But great turmoil was all the inhabitants of the land. So nation was destroyed by nation and city by city. But God troubled them with every adversity. But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Obed, the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim. And he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. Then he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those who dwelt with them from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon. But they came over to him in great numbers from Israel, when they saw that the Lord, his God, was with him. So they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they to the Lord at that time 700 bulls and 700 sheep from the spoil they had brought. Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their souls. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul, and he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. Also, he removed Micaiah, the mother of Asa, the king, from being queen mother, because she had made an obscene image of Asherah, and Asa cut down her obscene image, then crushed and burned it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was loyal all his days. He also brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils. And there was no war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. Now understand, think that through. No war. The 35 years. Why? Because he trusted in God. He trusted in God. Long term, God was the author and the finisher. God was in charge of everything. They dedicated themselves to God. Are we dedicating ourselves to God right now? Are we fasting? Are we praying? Are we looking up? Are we taking it to the throne of grace? Whatever your problem is, trusting in God, in the long term. Trusting in God. Trusting in God is a long-term solution to your problem. You wonder why you got all these problems, because you're not taking them to God. Asa had peace until his 35th year. Why do you think all of a sudden no peace? Understand, he's trusting God, peace. He's believing in God, peace. He knows God's got everything covered. Everything is stretching and working out. But now let's see what happens in the 36th year. And we'll go back to the life lesson after we finish the 16th chapter of 2 Chronicles. And then this is what it says. It says, in the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought silver and gold from the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and said to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, let there be a treaty between you and me, and there was between my father and your father. See, I have sent you silver and gold to break your treaty with Bashan, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me. What did it say? In verse 14 of chapter 15 of 2 Chronicles, then they took an oath before the Lord with loud voice and with loud trumpets and ram's horns. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, but they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul, and he was found by them. And the Lord gave them rest all around. And then it go on back in verse 12, say, and then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, and whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. So in the 36th year, after having 35 years of peace, why would you go to Syria's king, Ben-Hadad, and ask for help? When you had asked for the Lord, you had said you had given a covenant with God that you would trust in him. He then gave you a long-term solution to trust in me. For all your situations, for all your problems, God has said, trust in me. Woo! But he goes to a man, not to God. Lord God, I trust in you for the long term. I trust in you that all of my situations will be covered. We got to start having a trust in God in our hearts. But instead, he goes to Syria's king and asks for help. And this is what it says in verse 4. So Ben-Hadad needed King Asa and sent the captains of his army against the cities of Israel. They attacked Ajon, Dan, Abel, Mem, and all the sorted cities of Naphtali. Now it happened when Baasha heard it that he stopped building Ramah and ceased his work. Then King Asa took all Judah, and they carried away the stones and timber of Ramah, which Baasha had used for the building, and with them he built Geba and Mizpah. And all the time, Hananiah the seer came, and at that time, the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand, where the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen. Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them. Remember, they had millions in their army, and God delivered them, Israel, from them into your hands. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on you shall have wars. Then Asa was angry with Hosea and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. Note that the R&D written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet and his malady. His malady was severe, yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physician. Come on now. He took it to the phone and not to the throne. He went to the doctors and not to the doctor God. He didn't go to Dr. Jesus. He went to the physician and never did. What did it say? And he did not seek the Lord, but the physician. So Asa rested with his fathers. He died in his 41st year of his reign. They buried him in his own tomb, which he had made for himself in the city of David. And they laid him in the bed, which was filled with spices and various ingredients prepared in a mixture of, they made a very great burning for him. Did not go to God. Now God then brought you out, then saved you from the Egyptians and the, no, excuse me, from the Ethiopian army, then took care of you. And this is what it says. We're going to go back over to chapter 14. And it says in verse number 9, then Zerah, the Ethiopian, came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. And he came to Marashah. So Asa went out against them, and they set the troops to battle array in the valley of Zephathah, Marashah. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God. But we sit on you. We rest on you. Help us. We rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled, and Asa and the people who were with them pursued them to Gera. So the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover, but they were broken before the Lord and his army, and they carried away very much spoil. Then they defeated all the cities around Gera, but the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they plundered all the cities, but there was an exceedingly much more in them. They also attacked the livestock enclosures and carried off sheep and camels in abundance to Jerusalem. Now understand, God gave Asa peace 35 years, helped them defeat an army of millions, and yet he didn't call on God for Israel when they attacked, because they were brothers and sisters. Brother attacking another brother, because they was all the same family. But he didn't call on God. Instead, he called on Syria. And then didn't call on God when he couldn't probably walk, because he had a disease in his foot, probably diabetes. But didn't call on God. We got to understand that trusting in God is a long term. It's not a short term thing. It's until the day we leave this earth, we must trust in God. 2 Chronicles 15:4, when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and saw them, he was found by them. And this is a life lesson. No matter our backgrounds, regardless of our personal history, despite the terrible things we may have done, God invites us and urges us to repent, turn to him. When we seek him, we will find him. That little 13-year-old girl found the Lord and said, I pray to God to help her mom. Come on now, 13, going to medical school when she graduates from college. You tell me what God can do. 2 Chronicles 16:7. You have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God. Asa's political solution worked in the short term to remove a threat, but it backfired in the long term. Trusting God is a day-to-day, moment-by-moment pursuit. We must trust the Lord today and every day. Dr. Stanley says it, and it's the truth. We must trust the Lord every day, from morning to evening, all day long. We got to trust God. We got to know that all things work for our good when we trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. Trusting in God is a long-term solution to your problem. Quit taking your stuff to the phone. Give it to God and take it to the throne. We all do it. I do it. You do it. We all do it. We got to stop. And this is what Dr. Stanley says in our psalm word, which we're about to read. And then we're going to go back to this life lesson for psalm. And it says this. Please join me in the, oh, we actually read all of the 81st psalm already, but I want to read this one more time. It says, I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were freed from the basket. You called in trouble, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you will listen to me, there shall be no foreign God among you, nor shall you worship any foreign God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. God will fill us with his word. We got to believe. And this is what Dr. Stanley said. But verse number 10 of chapter 81 on the 81st Psalm. And it says this, here we see the heart of God to bless his people beyond their imagination, but we also see our part in the process to willingly receive what he has to offer. We get filled only when we obey his instructions. Are you getting filled? Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, for this mighty word. This is not just for you. It is for me to trust in God that he's already got a plan. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your, for just hearing us and trusting us as we trust in you to believe that all things are possible through you. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 20, verses 24 through 25. A man's steps are the Lord's. How then can a man understand his own way? Come on now. We have no way but God's way. And it says it is a snare for a man to devote rashly something as holy and afterwards to reconsider his vow. Come on now. Oh, I'm going to pay my tithe. But oops, I got this bill. Let me take that tithe money and pay this bill, and then I'll pay God later. The devil is a lie. The devil is a lie, and there ain't no truth in it. We got to pay what goes to God to God. Pay your tithe and watch God work everything else out for you when you give God your first fruit. Hallelujah. Trust God. Give what you belongs to God, to God. Don't let the enemy step in with his sneaky, dirty self, because he will try you. He will try you, but you got to trust God, and you got to take it to the throne. Take all your problems. He is your long-term solution to everything. is trusting in God. Hallelujah. And I'm thanking God right now for healing. Hallelujah. Healing the mind, body, and soul. Thank you, Jesus. And as we go to chapter 16 of the book of Acts, it says this. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and we're talking Paul. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed that his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region. For they all knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the city, they believed, they delivered to them the decree to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders of Jerusalem. Now, didn't the apostles and elders of the Jerusalem say that circumcision wasn't necessary, right? But again, Paul was trying to please man, so he circumcised Timothy. Let's call it like it was. And then as we go into verse 5, it says, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, when they had gone through a Perga in the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bethany, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, understand, they were still trying to go into Asia after God said, don't go. So the Holy Spirit said, oh, not today. And we got to wonder why sometimes we want to do something, but God said, not today. You're like, I know I need to do, I want to do this, that, or the other. And God won't let you do it. Didn't let him go into Asia because he had other plans. They were to go to Macedonia. And it says, therefore, sailing from Troas, we went a straight course up Samothrace, and the next day came to Naples, and then from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of the part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside. There, prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. A certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul, and when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. And we know that is against God. God is saying not to do that. The girl, that's why I just said psychic readings kind of thing. I'm on my way, as the psychic used to say back in the day. And it says, but this girl had a spirit of divination. It says, the girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaimed to us the way of salvation. This she did for many days. And I want to put a pin there. Just because somebody can holler and hoop about you doing stuff for God, be careful, because it may not be of God. Because somebody can hoop and holler and pray, listen to whatever they're saying, and ask God, give me discernment of the Spirit. Because anybody listening to her would think, oh, she's been saved. She's telling us she announcing that these men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaimed us the way of salvation. She was, it was like in your mind, you think, shoot, she like John, crying in the wilderness for Paul. Nuh-uh. That was not the right fit. We got to be able to discern who is and who is not of God. Ask God for discernment this morning. As you go into churches, as you go into different communities, as you go to hear a word from God, ask God to give you discernment. If they are not opening the Lord's book, pack up yours and walk. And no, I said pack up yours and walk. In other words, take your Bible to church. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Meditate on your Bible. Have your word with you. Then you can check and see, okay, wait a minute, Lord, let me go to this scripture. Let me get my notebook out. Let me write this down, what they're saying. Let me get my recorder out so I can hear this later. Whatever you got to do, get that word and get it in your heart and make sure it comes from God. This little girl, you think, oh, she is so from God. You raise your hand. There you go, girl. You better tell us who he is and who they are. But she was not of God. She was a fortune teller. She was dabbling in divination. But you wouldn't know it unless you asked for discernment. And it's Paul had discernment. And it said, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. But when her master saw that the hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Simon and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrate and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. And we all know, whew, I love this word. I'm going to tell y'all right now. Come tomorrow for the rest of this word. Y'all going to have me shouting. Because this, you know, whew, I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to have to read it yourself so you'll be ready for the shouting tomorrow. Because the Holy Spirit showed out. Whew, hallelujah. I thank God for this word this morning. And then it gives us some life lessons from Dr. Stanley. In the life lesson for chapter 16, verses 6 to 7, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Paul and his companions had developed a plan for the evangelism that they tried to follow, but they never let their plans get in the way of the Spirit leading. God wants our planning and his guidance to go hand in hand. We got to plan what God tells us to plan. We got to do what God tells us to do. It's not about me or you. It's about the Holy Spirit and the Lord. Trusting God today. Are you trusting him? Are you leaning on your own understanding? We can't lean on our understanding. We got to trust God. We got to ask God. Guide us, Lord. Give us understanding. Give us a spirit to see past the surface. Hallelujah. And it goes on to tell us in verse 14, the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. No one will respond to the gospel message unless God goes before us and sends his Spirit to do a work in human hearts. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. John chapter 6. Verse 65. Can't get to Jesus unless it's been granted by God. Hallelujah. We got to get to know the Father. We got to get to know the Son. We got to get to know God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We got to get to know him. We got to get to know him. Because he is our daddy God. And we have to listen to his voice. Don't listen to boo-boo and them down the street telling you to go on up. Come on down. Come on down for the fish fry. Girl, one beer won't hurt you when they know you're an alcoholic. Girl, come on now. You can smoke a little bit when they know you have an issue with substance abuse. Oh, girl, just a little kiss when they know you have a problem with fornication. God does not send you into the lion's den unless it's for a purpose, and that's for souls to be saved. But if you get there, you say, oh, well, not today, Satan. Let me tell you about my God. I don't drink anymore because God saved me from alcoholism. I don't smoke anymore because God saved me from drug addiction. I am not going to get that kiss from you because I don't fornicate anymore. I don't do what I used to do. I'm not who I used to be. So let me tell y'all about my God. Let me tell you about Jesus. Here, let me get my word out. And then start giving them who your God is. They may kick you out, but somebody might get saved at Boo Boo's house because God sent you. You didn't go in the flesh. You didn't go because they said, come on down, because they was trying to tempt you. But the devil will do that. But sometimes when you go into situations, when God goes before you, he will open doors for you to preach his word. Hallelujah. Trust God. Pray and believe that God has got your best interest at heart. And as we go back to Psalms 81 and 8, it says, listening to God is essential to walking with God. Hallelujah. One of the most important lessons we can ever learn is how to listen to God. In our complex and hectic lives, nothing is more urgent, nothing more necessary, nothing more rewarding than hearing what God has to say to us. A true conversation, of course, involves both talking and listening. Most of us do better with the talking part. Hand up. I used to be so occupied doing the Lord's work that I had no time to pay close attention to God's voice. I preach 6 times a week, take 2 television programs, this is Dr. Sterling talking, traveled across the nation, wrote books, pastored the church, and administered a large church staff and broadcast ministry among other daily duties. I spent time talking to God very often about the needs of my personal life and ministry, but not much time listening to God. I ended up in the hospital for a week and out of circulation for 3 months. If we don't learn how to listen to God, we can make unwise and very costly mistakes. Talking all of them, obviously, we all make mistakes, costly mistakes. Things we do we wish we hadn't done. And it goes on to say, if we don't learn how to listen, I'm saying it one more time, we make costly mistakes. You may ask, does God really speak to us today? The Bible assures us that he does. The book of Hebrews opens this way. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Our God is not silent. Our Heavenly Father is alive and active individually. Furthermore, he doesn't speak in veiled terms. Riddles are mysteries. He speaks plainly. The goal of any communicator is to be understood, not merely to speak well. God speaks in a way that we can hear him, receive his message clearly, and understand precisely what he wants us to do. God speaks not only in general and absolute terms, but also to each one of us personally. God is an infinite God, fully capable of communicating with each of us right where we are, in the midst of our circumstances, in very personal, direct, and explicit terms. This may be the most important concept you will ever grasp in learning how to listen to God. When God speaks, he is speaking to you. Everything in the Bible applies to your life in some way. every message or communication based on the word of God carries truth meant for you. There is no such thing as a chapter in the Bible, a sermon based on God's word, or a book that explains God's word that is not for you. Each of us must take God's word personally. Woo, hallelujah. This is not to say that God has an exclusive word for select individuals. God doesn't deal in secrets. He won't reveal truth to one person and deny it to another. Be on guard if you hear somebody say, God told me something, but I can't tell anybody else. Or God has a word that's just for me and not for you. God doesn't play favorites. He doesn't speak to one child and ignore his other children. Come on now. God's talking to parents too. You don't take one and neglect the rest. You don't make favorites of your kids. God wants us to love our children equally, just like he loves us equally. And he says his word of correction to you may be so personal that you don't want to share it with others, but ultimately God's word of correction applies to everyone. The same goes for God's promises, provisions, and insight. Woo, come on now. Dr. Stanley is preaching this morning. God doesn't speak frivolously. He doesn't joke around. God means what he says and do what he says. God is serious about his relationship with you. He expects you to respond to his voice, heed his words, and act on it. Woo, can the church say amen? Can you remember last Sunday's sermon? Come on now. Can you recall what you read in God's word yesterday? You'll be able to remember if you were listening for what God had to say to you. And if you're serious, believe that God intends for you to act upon what you heard. God always speaks for your benefit. He wants you to listen to him. And when response is obedience, whew, we got to obey. Sometimes he will challenge you to change your thinking or to release certain unhealthy feelings and opinions. Sometimes he will command you to change aspects of your behavior. He desires to encourage you so that you might live with greater joy and strength. Always, however, God's word is for your transformation. He means for it to go change you in some way. He means for it to change you in some way. Can I say it one more time? He means for it to change you in some way. Listening to God is not a casual pastime or a let's try to see if you like it activity. Listening to God is the most important thing you can do for the sake of your eternal soul. Hallelujah. We got to trust God. We got to believe that whatever God says he will do, he will do. Why? Because we belong to him, and he loves us. He loves us. He loves us. He loves me. He loves you. He's not going to give me more than he's going to give you, because God does not play favorites. Hallelujah. We are his children, and he loves us equally. Praise the Lord with me this morning, family. Praise the Lord with me this morning. Ooh, hallelujah. And our prayer for this morning is this. I have a couple. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever I ask, if in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. John 14:14. Good Father, you are the one in whom I find every longing of my heart filled. There is not a day that goes by when I don't ask you for something, yet I don't want to find myself constantly demanding what I do not have yet. I find my satisfaction in knowing you. Everything else is a perk of relationship. I know that your provision is faithful in every season. I am not a beggar, and you are not stingy. When I ask for bread, you did not offer me a rock. We talked and prayed this on Friday. When I'm hungry, you don't present me with a bowl of sand. You are a good father taking care of your children. I am so grateful to be called one. Give me boldness to ask freely and a humble heart that receives all you have to give with grace and joy, with confidence. I come to you today, my provider. Are you trusting God today? Much need. Even lions may get weak and hungry, but those who look to the Lord will have every good thing. Psalm 34:10. Great God, you constantly pour out goodness from the overflow of your generous character. There is nothing that I could ever have need of that you could not supply. You offer strength to the weak, healing to the broken, and comfort to the brokenhearted. You build up those who have been torn down. You offer the help of a friend and advocate. You do not throw money at problems as some rich rulers do. You get down in the dirt and fix things with your own strong arms. You have every resource at your disposal. My problems pale in comparison to your means. I will not be afraid of ruin or of lack. It is not my own reliability I trust in. When my strength runs out, there you are with abundant grace. You freely offer help whenever I need it. I lean on you, everlasting God. Woo! What do you need today, family? What do you need today? Are you calling on the Lord? Are you calling on Father God? Are you taking it to the phone? Get off that phone and take it to the throne. Because I tell you this, trusting in God is a long-term solution to your problems. Keep God first. And I say this because I knew this was my title for this morning. Because God woke me up with it. Because God gives us what we need. That we got to trust in him. You know, we want to say, I'll do this and this will help that. No. Stop. Trust God. And I'm speaking to myself, not just to you. And before we get out of here this morning, a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And I kept trying to figure out why all the word came after. But now I understand that this was all to come together this morning. But one word from Sister Carolyn, and this is for the 3 days, and it says, favor is undeserved. Excess. God will make a way and open doors that no one can block or shut. And then for yesterday, when you are ready to move up in life, you have to let go of everything that keeps bringing you down. Trust God to give you strength. Come on now. And as we continue this for today, it's a psalm, and it's my psalm. So I know this word was for me, hallelujah, as it was for you. We share it together. Says, have I not commanded you? Hallelujah. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Hallelujah, family. God is with you. Keep trusting him. Don't let anybody knock you off your square. Know that trusting in God is a long-term solution to your problems. Tell God about your problems. Tell your problem about your God and watch your God work in your life. Stronger. Our God is greater than any other. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you this morning for this word. And as I pray, may the Lord watch me be while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over all of you today. Remember, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church and watch God work in your life. Have a blessed day, family. Join me, God willing, tomorrow as we move forward in the word of God. As God is in charge, not me, but him. Thanking him this morning for this mighty and great word. Thanking Sister Carolyn for every word that she sent to fill in and be about God's word today. Everything is for a reason and a purpose, and I thank God that he reminded me of my strength to be strong and courageous. Hallelujah. Don't walk in fear. Walk in faith, knowing that God's crowning your head to the soles of your feet. Keep trusting God. and watch it work in all things. Remember, trusting in God is a long-term solution to your problem. Watch God work. He will do it. He will do it. But you got to get the work done. Because God is not an ATM. He wants us to get up and get moving. Thank you, Father. I love you, Lord. Thank you, family, for listening in. It's a wrap. We got to go to church. Hallelujah. Have a great day, family. And I love you all. God bless you. God keep you. God make his face to shine upon all of you. God give you grace. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a wrap.